Talk Tonight is on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Richard Krause, sitting in for Jim Richards. Big show coming up. Lots more to come. But first, we have the rundown. This is where we invite two people who are way smarter than me to talk about the stories that everyone's talking about, the stuff that you talked about at the water cooler, the stuff you talked about over the dinner table. We're going to try and give you a slightly different look or a deeper look at some of these stories. And to do that, we have Aaron Rand, co-host of Montreal Now on CJAD, and Carl Dockstetter, co-host of One Dish, One Mic on AM 610 Niagara, 1290 London, and 800 Windsor. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me tonight.
Hey, great to be here, Richard.
Super happy to be here.
So, BC becomes the first province to require a three-day cooling-off period for home buyers. This is kind of an interesting thing. The government said that the new home buyer protection period is designed to give purchasers more time to arrange financing or home inspections after a deal has been accepted. And that would give them more time to consider whether or not this package, this offer that they've made is exactly right for them. And this came out of this super hot market that has spread across the country, where bidding wars were making people act impulsively and rushing into deals that maybe otherwise they may not have. So I think it's kind of an interesting on that level. I also think it's about a year too late. So Aaron, why don't I start with you? Is this a good idea, or does it target a concern that is no longer a concern because the market has cooled off considerably?
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Richard. I think it's a good idea, but as you just suggested, the timing is a bit off. I'm not reading or hearing a lot about bidding wars breaking out anymore. That seems to be something that stopped happening 6 months or 9 months ago.
Yeah,
I think in this particular case, and it's interesting that this is in D.C. and not something that's happening across the country, so it's a bit of a test case. I wonder, though, the cynic in me wonders, what happens when you have multiple bidders on a property?
Right.
If someone wants to use that three-day grace period, yet the other people are prepared to make a bid, then what?
Yeah, so you've got that. That's kind of the point that a lot of realtors are making in the reading that I've done. They're saying, well, it's really not fair for anybody. This doesn't protect anyone except that person who made the original offer. And then if they back out, there is a penalty. So if you back out within the three-day period, you'll be hit with a cancellation fee of $250 for every $100,000 of the home's purchase price, and that's to ensure that transactions are still being taken seriously. Carl, what's your take on this?
Yeah, I echo exactly what Aaron said. It's a great idea that could have been implemented 12 months ago to actually make a difference. The BC Real Estate Association, for their part, made 34 recommendations. This was kind of one of them, but not exactly. They wanted 5 days for both parties to just like allow people to take a breath, think about stuff, figure out, you know, is this the decision you want? Is this what you want to do with your life? Is this how you want to move forward? And instead, the BC government is kind of doing one of the recommendations and way, way late.
So Canada's new foreign home buyer ban begins this week. It began on January 1st, and it's a two-year federal ban to stop people and corporations who aren't Canadian from buying residential property. It's a move that's supposed to help make housing more affordable for those that live in this country. And I wonder, I mean, there's a couple of things. If you live in a big city, or if you visited a big city where you have like London, for instance, the last time I was in London, I had a walk through Mayfair later at night, probably, well, after dark, 9 o'clock or so, and there wasn't a light on anywhere, and there was no one on the street because most of those places are owned by people who don't live in England, and they may only spend a week or two a year there, and it has just destroyed that part of the city. So this is angled in a different way, though. This is angled toward non-Canadian purchases because they want To drive down the prices, I guess, for residents of Canada to buy things here. But I think that this might send a bad message to people who might want to come here to work, or corporations who want to send people to Canada to work. If they can't purchase a place to live, they may just send them to a branch plant in America or somewhere else. Aaron, what do you think?
You know what? I think this is one of those cases of good in theory, bad in execution. Again, in much the same as the 3-day period now in BC, we're a little late to the party on this. This has been an issue. Certainly, I can speak to the situation here in Montreal. This has been an issue here for years now over foreign home ownership. Great. So we have rules in place now. But from what I read, you could drive a truck through the loopholes in this law in terms of how to get around it.
Right.
So again, I'm not sure that it's going to have, it's one of those things that looks really, really good. People have been clamoring for this, but that was to bring housing prices down. They've already done that organically, so why are we doing this?
Yeah, Carl, we're in a global competition for talent here. And I think that if we want people coming to this country who work in tech, who work in the trades, who work in whatever function it might be, if they can't buy a home for some time, that may dissuade them from coming here.
Well, it's worth noting as well, I just should point out that, you know, this tied into what's going on now with our immigration policies.
Right.
It seems almost counterintuitive, right? You're welcoming more people, yet you're making home ownership rules for those people potentially more difficult. So again, I'm having trouble sawing those two off.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, to build off of Aaron's point here, I mean, we don't have houses, and that's a huge underlying issue. And the percentage of foreign home buyers that are driving up the prices are a smaller percentage of the overall commodification of housing that's happened over a period of several years. Like, this isn't something that just happened in the last 12 months or 24 months. Like, this has been brewing for the last 3 to 5 years, and now, just now, we're seeing these rules come in. I think it's too little, too late.
Damar Hamlin, it's a terrible, terrible injury that has really been at the top of most newscasts for the last couple of days. If you haven't heard, he's a defensive back for the Buffalo Bills. He remains in critical condition in a Cincinnati hospital after suffering a cardiac arrest on the field in the first quarter of Monday night's game against the Bengals. Is this the last step for people? Will people start looking at football a little differently? We've been hearing about concussions. We've been hearing about the detrimental physical aspects of the game for a long time. But this was a young man, in his prime, cut down on the field. We hope that he's going to be okay. But do you think that this will lead to any kind of change, Carl?
I mean, I'm a gigantic Buffalo Bills fan, and I'm here in Niagara Falls. I'm Buffalo born. We our world stops. I was in Buffalo the day of the game, and every cashier, every single Buffalonian is wearing like a Bills shirt the day of the game. And I honestly think the world changed for all of us. And I don't know what's going to happen. I think the game is forever changed, and the reality of the violence hit home for so many of us. But there's so much money at stake, and that's the problem that I think we'll all be back in some way, shape, or form sooner or later.
Aaron, is this the kind of thing that is at the top of our minds right now because it's at the top of every news cycle? And then in 2 weeks, in 3 weeks, the story will fade, and so will the memory of just how horrific it was to see that play itself out live on television?
Well, I have a bit of a counterpoint here, Richard. Okay. I don't think this is a football story as much as it is a human story. Obviously, the big concern here is to hopefully have him survive and, eventually be able to lead a normal life. Mm-hmm. I will point out the last time, from what I remember, from what I read, that this happened in the NFL was in 1971. So we're talking 50 some odd years ago. So I don't think this is a black eye for the NFL. I don't think it changes anything in the NFL because, for people who've seen this play, and it's been replayed a million times, I don't think it had anything to do with the hit. It wasn't a dangerous hit. It wasn't a dirty hit. From hearing, doctors talk about what happened to him, and we're only speculating now. We won't know until we finally find out what exactly happened. It doesn't really have anything to do with football. This happens in hockey. Guys have been hit, in the chest with a puck. It happened not that many years ago. So I don't think this indicts the NFL, but I will say, obviously, the problems you pointed out still very much exist, injuries, helmets, et cetera, but that's the nature of the sport. I don't think it changes anything. All we can do, of course, is hope and pray that this young man is okay.
We're back on the other side of the break with Aaron Rand and Carl Dockstader on The Rundown. Stay with me.
You're listening to News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Richard Krause, sitting in for Jim Richards. Jim will be back on Monday after a good long rest. And then I'm going to take a good long rest after sitting in the chair for him at night for the last 3 weeks. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to having Jim back. The old name of this show. We are News Talk Tonight, and we're in the middle of The Rundown, and my guests are Aaron Rand, co-host of Montreal Now on CJAD, and Carl Dockstader, co-host of One Dish, One Mic on AM 610 Niagara, 1290 London, and 800 Windsor. Welcome back, and thanks for staying through the break.
Yeah, happy to be here.
So,
by the way, Richard, are we not talking about the really big story? Have you overlooked this already?
What's that?
Celine Dion not making the Rolling Stone list of the 200 best vocalists of all time?
We talked about that last week.
We talked about that at length.
And I played some audio, which I don't know if we still have that kicking around. I played audio of to prove what a great singer Celine Dion is. Mm. I played audio of her singing, literally singing the phone book. And Andrew, let's just listen to a few seconds of it.
Cry to me, des chauffeurs d'autobus, opérateurs de métro, et employés de service connect au transport 527.
They say if you can sing the phone book, you're a really great singer, and that's Celine Dion singing the phone book. So I think she belongs on that list.
Rolling Stone won though because they want us to be talking about it right now. I think they deliberately said, okay, who are we gonna snub? We'll pick a French Canadian and we'll leave them out so everybody is talking about the story. And it worked.
To be fair, they left a lot of people off that list. I think they managed to snub enough people that a lot of people paid attention to it. So well done.
Well, yeah, exactly. Eric Halpin and I were talking about this last night. He's a music consultant and publicist. And we both do best of the year lists, him for music, me for movies. But I put mine in alphabetical order. He does the same thing. And he said, oh, see, that's why ours get 250 hits online and Rolling Stone gets 250 million hits online. Because they're willing to be a bit more controversial than we are. So, but that is a point well taken. We should have brought in the expert from Montreal on Celine Dion. Mm. I'm sorry about that, Aaron. Well, next That's time okay. she's snubbed in any way, you'll be Perfect. My first call.
Excellent. I'll be looking forward to it.
Thanks. Now, I'm going to start with you on this one because it's based out of Quebec. The Quebec Court of Appeal has approved a class action lawsuit launched on behalf of Facebook users who claim they were discriminated against because the social media giant allowed advertisers to target job and housing ads based on factors like age, gender, or race. The class action could include thousands of Quebec residents who have used Facebook since April 2016 and who were looking for jobs or housing during that period. It is no secret that Facebook uses algorithms for everything to target you for the ads that we see that pop up on our social media, all that stuff. But what's your take on this? Do you think that this rises to the level of a lawsuit?
You know, I don't know, but Quebec is really good at this. We had another Superior Court ruling probably about a month or so ago, and I remember talking to someone on my show about it, suing the makers of Fortnite because they were gathering data from kids. It went ahead. It's going to be a class action suit here in Quebec. Look, I wasn't really even familiar with the term micro-targeting till I started reading about the story. And again, I hate to play cynic here. Facebook says they have a policy with people who advertise on their site that doesn't even allow them to do this, but they're supposed to basically police themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if, you know, you're told here's our policy, yet you don't check that companies are in fact following that policy, yes, I guess you're still guilty to some degree,
But I wonder how far this goes, and I wonder if the advertisers themselves are going to be the ones who are going to be found guilty here beyond just Facebook.
And Carl, for me, I think that this is just part of the algorithm. This is just kind of what Facebook is. But who knows? It looks like this is going to go ahead.
Yeah, it's a really interesting fine point, and I tend to agree with Aaron's perspective on this. There, I've used Facebook advertising myself to promote my show and whatnot, and I like the metadata. I like to put my stuff in front of people who want to see my stuff, and not in front of people who don't care for our style of radio on Saturday mornings. There, but it never occurred to me that employers, they could target, say, younger people for certain positions, or maybe they want older people for other positions. Maybe they want certain genders. And so Facebook is in the unfortunate position of having to police this. But then again, they're doing all right as a company. And so they could maybe put a few more resources into this, and the courts might make them now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that something will come of this, I think, because, we're still in the Wild West phase, I think, of social media, and we're still figuring things out, and it's going to take a few lawsuits until we figure out what's what, what's right, what's not, and then it'll all change again, and we'll have to sue everyone else again and start from zero. The stars of the 1968's Romeo and Juliet, directed by Zeffirelli, it's a very famous version of that film, are suing Paramount Pictures for more than $500 million. And keep in mind that this movie was made in 1968 over a nude scene in the film that was shot when they were in their teens. Olivia Hussey was then 15 years old. She's now 71. And Leonard Whiting, then 16, now 72, filed the suit in Los Angeles, alleging sexual abuse, harassment, and fraud. They were told that when they signed on that there'd be no nudity, that they could wear flesh-colored suits. And then on the day of the shoot, Zeffirelli apparently said, the director said, you take those off. I'll just make sure that I don't shoot anything too intimate. And that, of course, turned out not to be true. But, whatever it is, decades and decades and decades later, they are suing for $500 million. Is this just a way of getting attention to a situation that still goes on in Hollywood, Carl, where I think actors are often put in compromising situations? Or is this just a completely frivolous lawsuit?
Yeah, I mean, there's a technicality, right? There's a California law that was temporarily suspending a statute of limitations on child sex abuse that opened this window. Because I read the story and I'm like, why so long after the fact here? But you know what? I think send a message to the studio. I mean, they were kids. They're in a very vulnerable position. They didn't have any recourse until now. So I'm not in favor of frivolous lawsuits. But I also think like that's too young. It's too young. And regardless of the amount of time that's passed, and send the message to the studio.
And Aaron, have you seen the movie?
Yeah, maybe 20 years ago or 30 years ago. Not enough that I remember the scene, which apparently, Richard, is not that big a part of the movie.
No, it's not. Right? It's very short, and it goes by fairly quickly.
I mean, my first reaction, I almost started to laugh. I mean, as frivolous as one can imagine, that's what I thought. And I heard what Carl said, and maybe there's a case there. I think it's worth noting with respect to that California law that's now changed, you may be seeing a whole lot more of these types of suits coming out. I don't know how many will have anything to do with movies, but the first thing I thought of was, this is the Nirvana baby all over
again. Yeah, that's right.
Right? Here we are 55 years later. You've decided this is now a good time to do it because the law has changed. And I guess this will, to some degree, set a precedent when it gets to court, if it gets to court, and then we can go from there. But I think to just now, and again, maybe because the law changed suddenly, we're going to be hearing or seeing a lot more of these. Maybe that's the only reason this is happening.
Well, I think that window is closing this week. And so we've seen a number of these. This lawsuit was just filed. There was a lawsuit filed against Steven Tyler of Aerosmith earlier this week because the deadline is quickly approaching, and there won't be the ability to file for decades-old abuse claims. So interesting times all around. That's all the time we have, though, for the rundown. Thank you, Aaron Rand. You are the co-host of Montreal Now on CJAD, and Carl Dockstader, co-host of One Dish, One Mic on AM 610 Niagara, 1290 London, and 800 AM Windsor. Thanks so much for joining me today and talking about Celine Dion and all the other other important stuff.
Thank you, Richard.
Yeah, thanks, Richard. Thanks
for coming on. When we come back, we're going to talk about, well, something we've been talking about a lot this week, and I'm sure you've been talking about, airline rights. We're going to talk about, does competition breed better companies in terms of airlines? If there's more airlines in town, are you going to get better service? Well, we'll find out from Gabor Lukacs after the break. I'm Richard Krause. Stay with me.